not sure we're radically different than we were. I mean, in 94 when Ladd closed. I mean, you were there at the day we took the vote to file the court suit. You were in the next room, as I recall, or however that worked. You know, and when you think about 76, there were still about 1,000 people at Ladd. The community had begun to happen, but not to the extent that it currently does. And so I think between 76 and 94, when Ladd closed, the big thing that happened was that people got the value of community living, people got the value of civil rights, people began to get the understanding of how you needed to provide people with more experiences and train them. So I think all of that was happening between 76 and 94. I think that's to a certain extent amplified since 94, that 94 to now, we have 25 years. I think there are, everybody's in the community in some form. If you read the consent decree, it makes, or actually don't read the consent decree, read the findings letter. Findings letter, I think, laid out in a much more realistic way what the system was not doing well. I mean, they talked about everything from funding. They talked about how funding was focused more on facilities and segregated services.
What year was the findings letter?
To that, well, 2000, early 14, late 13, early 14. The investigation was 13. The findings letter came out either late 13, early 14. When you look at employment data, we're now about 30% of people, 27% of people are working in integrated settings. They're working for 11 hours per week. We've done away with sub-minimum wage. We've done away with the 14C certificates. So all of that from an employment standpoint, but I would say 27% of people working means that 73% of people aren't. I would say that 11 hours a week is good, but what do people do with the rest of the week? And one of the pushes is towards really doing much more community-based stuff. And I think agencies and other support mechanisms struggle with that because they don't have enough support to really provide the kind of, they don't have enough funding to really provide the kind of support that people need to be able to do much more extensive community-based stuff.
Community-based work, you mean? Or
just community, I mean, if you think about, you just went swimming. You know, when you look at, if you took your proverbial typical person, whoever that happens to be, and you look at what they did and they're done work done, people belong to an array of organizations, people have an array of leisure things. Oftentimes, I will take one of my young grad students when I'm trying to make this point and ask if I could violate their privacy for an hour, and I have them describe their life. And they have a million things that they do. You contrast the million things that people do with what adults with DD do, and it's like a huge difference.
Huge difference, yeah.
You know, and so work is an important thing, but the notion of what do you do with the rest of your life as well, because life is meaningful if you have a whole comprehensive life. Work is good for some people, but it's not all of life. So, I mean, I think those are the kinds of things we need to sort of push more, and funding.
So there's progress that's needed there, is what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a huge need there to really think about life in a much more comprehensive way. One of the things we're working on, and that we're trying to help, my center is trying to help the state with, is this notion of what I call person-centered thinking. For a long time, there's been this thing about person-centered planning. I worry about that because it becomes a form. Person-centered thinking, we based it on three big concepts. The person ought to be much more in charge of their own life than they now are. Two, you think about all of life, not just work. But then three, because there's so much of life that should be spent in community doing all of those things, we need to think about how we engage the community in a very different way than we currently do. Those are the three. I mean, I could give you huge detail about all of those, but those, I think, are the three big things. If you look at, like, you know, 2010-ish, we were in I think we were one of the country's leaders And I think we went through a significant downslide, as you clearly know.
Yeah.
I think the Buddha world is much better now than it was during that downslide. But, you know, part of my issue, I don't know how to say this meaningfully, is that there's been a lot of focus on rebuilding the system and not enough focus on enhancing individual people's lives. And so you remember when the last school consent decree was signed, which was 82, the monitoring committee, as it was called, was Bob Carl, George Gunther, Jim Healy, Paul Sherlock, and me. You remember that,
yes.
Sure. And so we had a million conversations in those days about how you make all of this happen. I mean, the closing of LAD, the building of community places for people to be, was really the focus during that whole time period. I think the focus now has to change from building places and supporting systems to how you enhance people's lives and give them much more control over funding and all of that other stuff that directly impacts them.
Talk about the General Assembly. I mean, you're one of the few people, it seems to me, there in the General Assembly who has taken on these issues.
I would say there's, of the 113 of us, there's another 112 that, if I sat down with them, would concur with the what needs to get done. They would say, we support improving the system. They may not have the details or the background around it, but they clearly, I've not had met a legislature yet, and this is my 11th year, that doesn't say, we need to figure out how do we support the system. So it's just better. But.
So where does your interest come from?
When I got elected, I basically said, I was going to be a voice for those folks who weren't going to be at the State House. We're not going to come to the State House. Who couldn't?
Okay. So
not the coy term, what I'm going to say, but the voice for the voiceless. Folks with disability aren't going to come to the State House and testify. We might see a couple of them once a year at a rally,
yeah.
But we're not going to see them in a Finance Committee hearing. We're not going to see them in a Judiciary Committee hearing. We're not going to see them in an Education hearing. So that's one group. Seniors was another group. Kids in the Care of the State, DCYF. From a BHDDH perspective, which what used to be called MHRH before,
right.
The changes they make are necessary, and moving the direction they're moving, necessary but not sufficient.
Necessary but what?
Necessary but not sufficient for where we need to go.
And how do we get to where we need to go?
Number one, we got to lay out. So one of the things that we're talking about is the Project Sustainability Commission.
Yeah, just to say it, I would agree with Lou that I think that both Director Boss and Director Zanke are both committed, competent, but the system is still stuck to a certain extent to where we were in the 80s and 90s, and the research has changed, the world has changed.
If I look at the funding in just in the DD services, not all overall, and I sent this to several folks, the 2012 budget, and you escalate that for CPI to last year, it was almost aligned by a few million dollars what the number would have been in 2012 dollars. So all intents and purposes, there's been no increase in funding.
DSPs really basically did care. You know, I mean,
right.
Now the assumption is that you're helping people plan their lives.
Helping people what?
Plan their lives, you're helping people engage with community organizations, you're providing support, you're expected to teach people to acquire skills, oftentimes you're expected to be a job coach. You're making decisions that are complex. If we're looking at a life for somebody, you talk about housing, you talk about work, you talk about all that other kind of stuff, and everybody uses those words, but we don't do it in a comprehensive enough way.
So obviously one model doesn't fit all.
Right.
Clearly is very little.
Well, just like every other human being.
Some of us live in condominiums, some of us live in houses, some of us rent, some of us own. The system at a macro level needs to radically change from what we're doing today. We can't look at this from the perspective of, I'll say, pruning the tree and pruning the leaves off the tree. It's almost the case where we need to, we're not gonna throw the whole system out. We can't throw the whole system out. But we need to transform like we did with the LAD school. When you had the LAD school and you created these group homes that the state invested in, and the state owns some of those. So the state has a vested interest in those because they paid for them and because of some of those whole things that are out there. As we do this, as we move this large tree, as we transform the system, we're still gonna have group homes. They're not all gonna go away. Right. Over time, I think the large number should go away. So we got to change our model, because there's some folks that's the right place for them. It's living in a shared living arrangement with someone else may not be the best thing for that person.
So I don't want to sound trite, but using the word transformation, and I guess the word revolution is too strong, but no?
Not for me.
Okay, speak. What is it time for then?
Well, you know, the notion of revolution is an appropriate thing at some level. To me, it's partially a question of who is in control of an individual's life. And in the institution days, the institution was totally in control of every minute of that person's life. As we have gravitated towards more community services, the service provider is still largely in control of major portions of that person's life. The revolution to me is to put the person and their family or their immediate contacts, whoever are their primary people in their life, should be the people who are more in control of what happens with that person's life. That's true, as we've said before, with every other person. With people with DD, oftentimes most of the time decisions are made by somebody else, not by them and the people who are immediately involved with them. So revolution, I mean, you could call it transformation, I'll buy that, but the notion of changing dramatically how we think about people and changing dramatically how we support people.
And it's not only a system change and a funding, involving funding and politics, it's a mindset change.
Totally.